Like I said, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 31.
We're introduced to the story picks up with two major characters, both in Laban and in Jacob. Laban and Jacob were somewhat at odds with each other, being father-in-law, son-in-law, but the complication of that was not necessarily the relationship, but however how the relationship came about. As you know well, the story of both Jacob and Laban, Jacob was both tricked because he had tricked. Jacob had been deceived. He had to work for his wives, and basically Laban does throw him a bone saying, you know, you can grow some prosperity with me, but only by the spotted and the less desirable of my flock, then you can have them. But we note that through the context, the Lord blesses Jacob. And in a span of time, Jacob's herds grow. And through a lot of time, he gets a lot of spotted, he gets a lot of less desirable pieces of flock, and Jacob basically becomes a rich man. And so him and Laban are going to part ways in Genesis chapter 30. If you begin reading there in Genesis chapter 31, they have to make an agreement about what they're going to decide to do. There's a territory of land. Jacob, I don't want you crossing over here. Laban, I don't want you crossing over here. But there's also going to be conditions to this agreement. And it gets a little bit deeper than that, but that's basically the synopsis at surface level of these two chapters. If you begin reading there in verse 44, Laban speaks with Jacob and he says, this agreement, or as it reads in your Bible, this covenant that we're going to make is going to be one that we'll both abide by. It's going to have terms and conditions, and we're going to set it in stone. The way we're going to set it in stone is implicit in what it says there in Scripture. So let's read there. While we're reading through this context, it's 11 verses. Please try to find the terms and conditions, the agreements, what it means to break the agreement or covenant, and what they'll do to set this in stone. Try to find those things there in this context. Begin reading there with me, verse 44. Laban speaking to Jacob. Now therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between me and you. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and there they ate on heaps. Verse 47. Laban called it Jegar Sadutha, and Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galeed. And so Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is a witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap, and here is this pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and to this pillar to me for harm. Verse 53. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their fathers, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain. They called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread, and they stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. So if you want to look on screen, we'll just break it down, but hopefully you caught it in the reading. There are terms to what they are going to agree on. They make a covenant with each other to agree. We're both going to agree to these terms. If you break the violation, although it is not said there, it is said what is considered to break the terms of agreement. But we'll learn later on what it means to break an agreement. And then what they do to set it in stone or to ratify it. So just really quickly, an overview of what is being said there. The terms are, we're going to be in this place. You won't pass from here to there. Look what it says in verse 50. If you afflict my daughters, in other words, take care of who they are. And it says in verse 52, don't pass from here to there for harm. if you intend to hurt me, don't go past this place. Let's agree on what we're saying here. We're going to go our separate ways, but let's be in agreement so we're not overtaking each other. So that's what's going on there. An oath is then given in verse 53. It says, the God of Abraham, they make this judgment call on the God of Abraham and Nahor and God of the fathers judge between us. And Jacob agrees with that. I get my father would have agreed to this. I get what he's saying this by, and I'll agree to this also. And the oath is given there. Now, we're not told directly in this context, but let's say, for instance, Jacob did want to harm his wives who were the daughters of Laban. He did want to cross over this barrier and go, I don't know, maybe take something from Laban. There would have been consequences to breaking the agreement. We know that God calls consequences to breaking an agreement a curse. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 28, he tells them very explicitly, you obey my commandments, you honor our oath that we've made, the covenant, and you're going to be blessed. But he uses different words. If you actively break it, you will be cursed. So we know that, you know, if Jacob wanted to break the agreement, and he did, then there would have been repercussions for doing that as well. And so finally, the last thing they do is really important, is if you want to spend time with family, you want to agree, you want to talk things out, is let's sit down and let's eat over it. To sit down and to eat somebody in this time period was a really special thing. One, meaning that you had enough to provide for each other, but also, I'm inviting you to my house, and a lot of occasions like this one, we're sitting down, we're being peaceable, we're being dignified to each other to make a deal. And that's exactly what they do here. Now, what we're doing this morning as we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper, the imagery cannot be lost on us, right? This is almost the exact same things, just in a different way, with the covenant and the meal of ratification that we're about to eat with right now. The terms were laid out very differently. If you look what it says in Romans chapter 6, though, it's a little bit different. Romans chapter 6, begin reading there in verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, look at what it says there. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him in baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So I wanted to come into a covenant with God, mostly because I was tired of being dead in my sins. So I decided, God, I'll take you on. And the terms of this is me taking you on. And I'm now living a life that is acceptable to you. And I'm living a life as opposed to being dead in my sins. Those are part of the terms. Continue reading on verses 8 through 10. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, right? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died for to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And indirectly, it's the same thing for us. I'm not wanting to live in sin anymore. I'm going to live a different life. And these are the terms that I've taken on in this new covenant with God. Great. So now we understand the agreement that God has with me and that I have with God. He died for me so that way I could live a life, not one of death, but of actual life. Now, we make a covenant with God when we make an oath to him. If you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, just really quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 22 and 23. Not verse 23 two times, as you see there on screen. Chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a heart full of assurance, having faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful to that oath. And so we've been washed, so now we feel a comfortable witness with God where we can go to him very comfortably. That's part of the oath that was given. I'm going to be baptized by God. I'm going to be cleansed by him. Now, we know in the same vein that if I choose to do anything that goes against our agreement, God, I'm going to live faithfully to you, but unfortunately, my indulgences, my impulses push me back to living the life that I previously lived. In other words, I break the covenant. I go back to sin. I go back to death. In the same vein, I'm breaking the covenant that has been given to me. So I'm going to live the life of sin. And what do I get for it? I don't get life. I get death because I go back to sin. Basically, that's the curse. That's the consequences for going back on my words of the agreement. So brethren, what I'm trying to get at here is what it's always been the same with how God narrates making covenants and agreements with him. Let's lay it out how it is, how life is going to go, and let's make an oath, let's make a covenant with each other, and let's not break it. But so many times we have broken it. And so we need a reminder every single week, as opposed to maybe just one single meal a year, or maybe like one single meal like Jacob and Laban, to remind us, we've made this agreement with God, let's hold fast to it. And if you turn your Bibles, obviously, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, we are told how often we are supposed to take this meal that ratified this new covenant. This isn't something on simply a monthly one time, but a weekly basis to remind us of what we have done. Jesus said, I bring forth a new covenant, both in my body and in my blood, and we are to partake of it every single week. Obviously, if this was a sermon, I would preach more heavily on the first three points of keeping our promise. But because of what we are about to do, brethren, always remember that this was an important step for us to keep in mind the death of Jesus, so that way we would keep the first three steps. And that this is really just an encouragement, a moment of meditation and of reverence for us to keep going on in our spiritual lives. So as we continue with this thought of going into the Lord's Supper, just remember that this is so important for us to remember every single week, and it helps us throughout, obviously, our spiritual lives. But don't neglect the part where God gave his parts and his terms of this, giving his son on our behalf. Think about those things this morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper.